I'm going to drink my tea.
Tea?
Yes, tea.
Okay. Isn't that posh of you?
We don't have the expensive coffees like you, first helicopter folk.
Welcome to episode 123 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I am the Eggman, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I used to input my own GameShark codes.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and it's too damn cold.
Oh, it's never too damn cold.
How cold is it up there?
This is Goffin weather. Like the Goffin weather.
The locks on the car froze, so when you put your key in, you couldn't turn it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's going to get cold here this weekend in Chicago area. I know that.
The old windy city.
Oh, into the negatives. You know, that's actually a misnomer. It's the nickname Windy City did not come from the actual physical wind. It came from the hot air spewed out by the crooked politicians. Yeah, it's the worst politics in the world. It sucks. New governor, though.
It happens.
That's good.
We'll see.
Exciting. It's an exciting time.
Yeah, you know.
Good stuff.
He's going to do governor things. And you know how things can be when governors are governing it up.
Just governing around.
For those just joining us here on W1MC, we are doing a special segment called Judging ROM, in which we take a look at the mayorship of Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel. And today we are focusing on his fight against crime. And here with his opinion on the matter is former Chief of Police Eric Hunter. Hunter, what do you have to say about the crime in Chicago and how Emanuel is stopping it?
It's gonna rain! It gonna rain!
Back to you, Jason.
It's 20 till the top of the hour.
Well, you see, Emanuel, when he was sworn in, it was actually quite a PR disaster. He actually forgot the words to the mayoral oath. So
Yes.
He's had it going against him since he was sworn into office.
And who are you again?
I'm your senior foreign correspondent.
Oh, right.
Senior foreign correspondent.
What's on it?
Our Canadian expert.
Very nice.
All things Chicago politics.
We have Canadian expert on the show today.
Canadian expert on all things Chicago mayor, governor, politics.
Yes. It's actually a thing of interest up here in Canada.
For anyone who's never heard this podcast before, we really do eventually start talking about retro games.
So, we do?
But until then, we can keep... No, I'm just kidding. Have you guys played any old video games lately? Because I have. So, I'm winning so far.
I did too.
Cool. So. Well, that's a first. All three of us.
Dang.
No, it's not. It's not a first. We've done it many a time. It's just been so long.
It's just rare.
Since we've done it.
That's
yes.
true.
Yes.
We have done it a few times. Yeah. That's not a first. That's more like an eighth, maybe.
Maybe. Possibly a 17th.
Maybe a 23rd. Hunter, you go first, buddy.
I actually played a lot of games.
Ooh.
Specifically on the Super NES.
Nice.
I stumbled upon the Retro Achievement Emulator. Have you guys heard of this?
I've heard of the idea. Is it actually a reality now?
It's an actual thing. It's retroachievement.org. What this group of people have done is taken emulators for the NES. They're using just the Super NES. They're just using the SNES X9. I don't know what the actual term is. It's one of the more popular ones. And they've practically retrofitted it to kind of keep track of certain things in the memory that are just pumping in and out of the memory. And there's a large amount of titles now that they've been able to do this for, but they actually set up where you can get achievements within the game. You go online, you sign up with the username and password. Everything's linked to the account. You sign into your account through the emulator. It keeps track of the achievements that you've gotten The ones that you haven't gotten yet, you know, tallies points just like any other modern console would.
Interesting.
So, yeah, this kind of, and it's intrigued me to the point of I probably played maybe 8 or 9 Super NES titles, like popular ones, just to see how it would work out. So, like, I played Super Mario World, and I played Final Fight, and I played Street Fighter II. Mm-hmm. I played Mystical Ninja. What else did I play?
It's definitely a solid sampling. Does achievement hunting for an older console, does that appeal to you? Like, talk about that.
Well, so I'm kind of 50-50 when it comes to achievements. And I think one of the issues that at least games today have ran into is that it's a requirement to have a game on a modern console is to have a set number of achievements. And the problem that seems to have spurred is the fact that these achievements are sock pianoed into the game. So it's dumb things like, oh, you finished chapter one, congratulations, here's XP. Stomped on 5 Goomba heads, here's another, you know, it's monetary things.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, it's mediocre things that you're going to do anyway in the game. But then there's other games that actually take a point to use these achievements to kind of force you to play the game differently than you normally would. Other times it's just little fun little quirks. One game in particular would be like Limbo. Limbo has the very first achievement in the game is entitled "You Went the Wrong Way." So Limbo is, in case if you don't know, it's just a simple side-scrolling platforming game. It's very dark and ominous. It's a lot of fun, kind of creepy. And like any other side-scrolling platform game that you've played since you were a baby, progression goes to the right. Well, for some reason, I just decided to go to the left. And I stepped on this little rock, and it said, "You went the wrong way. Congratulations, you thought to go left. Now go right to continue the game." Like little silly little things like that. Like that's comical to me. But yeah, most of the time it's like, oh, you got 10,000 points, so here's an achievement. But when it comes to retro games, I don't know. Like, I've never been an achievement hunter. Like a lot of people are nowadays, but I could tell you as a kid, I would have loved to have had something like this because there have been so many times, especially as a kid, where it's like, oh, you know, I beat Mike Tyson and Mike Tyson's punch out. No, you didn't. I did. I really did. I did. No, you didn't. Like, nobody can beat Mike Tyson. If it were now, it could be like, look at my achievement. Beat Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or Resident Evil 2, when you unlock Sophie's chapter within the game. I think it's Resident Evil 2. Like, it's a lot easier just to be like, hey, it's all here online. Check it out. This is what I've done in the game.
I can see the appeal for me for retro games is that, I mean, there's certain tricks and little things. For example, Super Mario Bros. 3, you know, flying when you've gotten the raccoon leaf, no big deal. But can you fly while crouched? Again, not a huge deal, but there's a lot of little gameplay tricks to these old games people have discovered over the years. There's certain, like, section skips and level warps and Mega Man and Link's Awakening and things. And, like, it'd just be fun to see the catalog of players online who have achieved these and who really are the best old school gamers. You know, not necessarily just high score keeping, but just little things like, I can clear 200 lines in Tetris. Oh, wow.
The issue that you run into is that since it's an emulator and it's only grabbing what's in the memory, there's not a whole lot you can do. So, I mean, a lot of the achievements are just, you know, you beat this level or you got this many points. Like when I was playing Super Mario World, like I collected all 5 of the Dragon Coins or the Yoshi Coins in one particular level and I got an achievement for it. So a lot of it's got to be numerical. I think the best thing that this whole project has going is there's a voting system. So there's any amount of people that are working on one particular title trying to come up with these achievements. And as you're playing the game, you can actually vote if you think the achievement that is listed for the game is rational or makes sense or is just plain dumb.
That's pretty cool.
So they can go in and out, you know, like it's more of a fluidity when creating these. And I think that alone is enough for me to back this project. And one form of another.
So if the achievement sucks, it could eventually be voted down and gone away with.
Correct. Yeah. So like, I think the way that that's set up is like, if it's below, you know, 20, a rank of 20 for X amount of weeks or X amount of months or X amount of times people have played this game, then it just gets removed because it's no longer deemed necessary or even worth having an achievement. So, I mean, if you get a right set of people who are trying to make this game worth having achievements, then it could be something great. You know, like it could be something in terms of like what you were saying, like especially when you bring up the list, it's like, how would you fly crouched? Like, I don't even know how to, like, you would take time to try to figure that maneuver out rather than just blowing through the game and unlocking all the achievements, you know? So, I don't know. Again, like, I'm not a big achievement guy, but just the whole voting system, I think, is enough to kind of keep an eye on it. Yeah, so, like, they've got an NES emulator, Super NES, Genesis, Game Boy. They're working on a MAME emulator right now. But, I mean, it seems like they have a huge fan base. There's a lot of people who are contributing. So it may be something to keep an eye on.
Dang. Maybe. Shoot. What's it called again?
The website is retroachievements.org.
Simple enough. Retroachievements.org. Check it out! Jason, you want to try to follow that up?
That's really tough to follow up. I've just been playing TIE Fighter again. I went back to it.
Sweet.
I'm pretty sure it's been designed to frustrate you to no end.
I love those games.
Sounds like an old game.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm really enjoying it just based on the fact, because you'll be, I don't know, you'll be 10 minutes or so into a mission, and then you die just because a missile comes out of nowhere. You're like, oh, I guess I got too close to that Star Destroyer. Shit.
I do remember.
And then you got to...
Yeah, even the demo was trial and error like that. Like, oh.
Yeah. And then you got to start again. And then 8 minutes in this time, you've accidentally collided with another starship.
Nice.
And then you got to start again. So, yeah, it's been a lot of TIE Fighter. But I can't see anyone. You have to get a joy. I can't see not playing without a joystick. Even with the joystick, there's way too many buttons. So, like, I'm mashing things on this, like, joystick with a separate, thruster attachment. Or, like, hitting, like, Control S on my keyboard and then hitting, like, the plus and minus. I don't know.
Oh, how do I switch to 75% shields? Where's the F3? Not eject!
Alright, gotta get my wingmen to attack him, but... Okay, cycle target. Okay, ignore that guy. Cycle shields in the rear because there's a guy.
Wow.
Okay, I want my missiles to target this calamari cruiser's... I don't know, communications array? Okay, click, click, click. Okay, switch to my missiles. Lock fire. Oh, no, wait. I want it to fire two at once. Fire. It's pretty much... a button clicking game.
Say it sounds like an overweight 14-year-old's wet dream.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Wow. Jason, I figured out what you bring to the podcast. You're good at taking any game, any classic game, and making it sound awful, or at least pointing out
just how bad it is.
The absurdities of it. The absurdities. Like your whole rant on Wind Waker. Like, awesome. That's Jason Lamb.
That game's great.
Any classic game, I'll find something about it.
So good.
That is amusingly horrible. So
good. What can I say?
I think you said it.
TIE Fighter. So yeah, so you should go buy TIE Fighter on Good Old Games, because it's great.
Yeah, but then you got to buy the joystick and the thrusting mechanic. And...
Yeah, you got to buy the joystick. So that $5 turns into another $60.
Sorry, my gaming budget this month is already maxed out.
That's all right.
For the podcast, I actually bought, because the cord on my headset is fraying at the end. I have to, like, it's electrical taped right now, but it's, like, exposed and stuff to the wire. So I went ahead and bought a new headset. and a new standalone mic, just because I think for some situations that'll look better, like for streaming and things. And I found it amusing. I got them on Amazon. And I'm a cheap guy. I didn't go for anything expensive. I just got two cheap things, and I'll use them for a few years until they wear out, probably. But interestingly enough, they both come from separate sellers. So the headset, the estimated arrival at my house from shipping is February 18th. That's about, you know, a week from now. It's 6 days. It's not bad.
Pretty quick. Yeah.
The standalone mic estimated arrival is March 11th.
So a month.
So a month, yeah.
Damn.
Not sure what kind of system they're using to ship.
Sounds like my pre-order game I'm still waiting for.
That sucks.
We can talk about Kickstarter games we've been waiting over a year for.
Yeah. Well, I pre-ordered a game 2 years ago now. I'm coming up on 2 years. And I got an email from them last week, and I was like, is it done? Is it? Can it be? I've been waiting on this 2 years. Am I finally going to be able to play this effing game? And the email basically just broke down like, hey, we're still working on stuff. Still trying to get stuff printed. We're still, you know, blah, 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 bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Like, no, I want my game.
Yeah.
I don't even care if it's done. I don't care if it's in beta.
We are committed to creating an outstanding gameplay experience, and we are not willing to cut any corners in order to accomplish our goal.
Well, and the other thing that kind of worried me was like, oh, if you pre-ordered the game, then you'll get your copy. But if something is amiss, and we happen to do another run of printing, we'll be sure that you get one right away. And I'm like, I am not waiting any longer.
No,
like, I'm sorry. Like, I've gone 2 years without asking for a refund or complaining or anything. Like, I pre-ordered this game before it went onto a Kickstarter, before it got kickstarted. Like, I want my game. I want my game. So, yeah.
Sucks.
Anyway, what were you been playing, Billy?
I actually been playing a few things. I think this has been a really long week, but I think it was on Saturday. I hooked up my Elgato capture device, and I did some streaming for the first time. I tested it out. It actually worked out pretty well once I figured out how everything worked. And the software is really intuitive and nice. My internet occasionally goes out, just like completely. It's not just like the stream or a slow connection, like it just cuts out. That's just been a problem we've been having with our provider. I need to call him actually and come tomorrow. But yeah, I played some stuff thrown in the NES, Smash TV. Got a few viewers. One of them didn't realize that such an arcade classic ever got an NES port. I was like, yeah, that's what's awesome about retro gaming. Some of us know a lot. Some of us know a little.
It's not a good port.
Showing people new stuff. Yeah. It's pretty good. I think it's pretty fun.
No,
it's a technical achievement. Can you name another NES game with so many moving sprites without any flickering or slowdown at all? It's amazing.
Oh, there's definite slowdowns.
Barely any?
Come on.
No, I just played it on Saturday. There's not really, no.
They're slow down.
Just playing it wrong. No. So I also
I don't
played...
even have it.
I actually mostly just played Kirby's Adventure. It's a great game. Someone suggested I play that. Like I said, oh, what game should I play on the NES? And like a bunch of suggestions came. I picked that one. I was in the mood. And I thought, oh, I'll give myself a challenge. I'll play until I die once. And I thought, you know, it's a fairly easy game. It's not like super difficult. But I died pretty quickly, and I was like, nope. So I'm just testing out different things, you know, headphones on, off, commentary, capture, no capture, whatever. I tried like 3 times, like to beat Kirby's Adventure on One Life. Could not do it. I did not even make it to Orange Ocean. I got to Grape Gardens, which is the 4th or 5th world.
Yeah.
But yeah, always some. It's not like it's a one hit kill game. It's not like Ghosts and Goblins where you just feel.
Yeah, right. No, you have a health bar that you can.
Oh, you barely got touched.
Yeah.
You have a health bar. You have power ups. You have frequent health pickups. I don't know if that was just nervous or like playing it too risky? Feeling
you're on the spot,
need,
man.
Put on a little bit of a show. I don't. Whatever excuse you want to pick, I just died. I'm definitely that's going to be one I definitely come back to. But I'm going to be coming back to doing more videos this year. I'm going to be streaming. I'm putting together my schedule. I have some dates picked out. I'll do some stuff on. So I'm looking forward to that. Just playing some old Nintendo games, streaming it live, uploading it to YouTube later. I asked on Facebook. I was like, do people want to see like world record attempts or like me sucking at a really hard game or like just weird obscure stuff? And immediately, like, overwhelming response, people just want to see weird obscure strange stuff. So I'm like, okay, like the first five responses solid in a row were like, yeah the odd stuff, we want to see that. I was like, okay, I gotta find like what's considered I don't know. So we'll see, but I will come back to Kirby's Adventure at the very least. So that's what I played. Kirby's Adventure, really good game.
Nice.
It is
really
good
game.
It's pretty good. I like it. Yep. I've always liked Kirby. I don't know why. Kirby felt like growing up when the Game Boy game came out. Like I felt like Kirby was like my mascot because I was like, oh, I'm old enough. I'm familiar with Mario, but Mario's old. Donkey Kong's old. You know, Kirby's new and he's exciting and he's got these cool powers. Like this is my mascot. You know, I don't know. Like I've always had like this weird kind of. I've always felt that way about Kirby, and like I remember you, Kirby. I will never forget you. Like you were the one there for me, kind of thing. Because it was.
It's good. Yeah, it's good to have a few characters you feel that connection with. Because I'm that way with Mike Jones, the Star Tropics protagonist.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, that's just the Paul Bananas in the years. Like,
two games.
Then. Awkward. Poor sequels. I wish it were better.
Speaking of poor sequels, we actually have a listener email discussion question. Goes like this. One more podcastle. Earlier this week, Jason Lamb tweeted about EA's upcoming Need for Speed Android game, which features a fuel meter that exists as a paywall. Microtransactions aside, the implementation of a fuel system in games is severely underutilized. Which other features, either realistic or fantastic, do you think video games would benefit from? That's from Aaron Alcorn, a.k.a. Arcade Android. He's on Twitter if anyone wants to meet him, talk to him, follow him. He's a decent fella. What do you guys think? Realistic, like real-life features that should be in video games.
Didn't Days of Thunder have a fuel thing?
Did it?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I thought you had a pit stop. Maybe not.
Yep.
I get mistaken.
I have to be careful with this question because I disagree with the thesis right from the outset. I think having a fuel gauge is severely overutilized.
Really?
When I was a kid, I loved Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Right.
Got the Nintendo game, thought I was about to have the best experience of my life. Started playing not and so discovered much. That it's not an action-packed, humorous take on my beloved franchise. No, it's an economic simulator with driving portions in which you have to track your fuel.
It's true. A lot of stair walking as well.
And not even stair walking where you can hold the up button. You have to tap.
Yeah, and you all have to move as a group as well.
There's a wrist crippling section. So that broke my heart as a child. Like, I can honestly say, like, having a fuel gauge in the game, just worst decision humanity has ever made.
Yeah, but there hasn't been anything like that.
There's been a few exceptions.
Not a long time.
And, like, Excitebike also, I think it's one of the most overrated games. I think of it as an... It's not even a fuel gauge. It's a heat gauge.
Yeah, it's like a heat, yeah.
You have to track your engine heat? Like, who wants to play Engine Heat Management Simulator? Like, I think putting real-life limits on your character, it's stupid. Like, imagine any platformer, okay? But after every couple levels, you have to, like, find food and, like, take time to eat it. Imagine a first-person shooter where, like, every, like, 30 minutes you have to find a urinal. You know, 'cause you have to pee, you know?
There's first-person shooters like that.
Yeah, Duke Nukem.
I don't want that, though. I don't want simulation. I want fantasy. I want escapism.
Fair enough.
Right, but there is a group of people who do want that. They do want realism.
Exactly. That's why at the outset I said I just have to be careful with this question, because I understand.
That's all right.
That's the camp I'm in, though. I think I've made my point of view clear here.
Yes.
It's difficult for me to think of real-to-life stuff I would want in a video game.
Fair enough.
Like, part of me wants the option just to say no. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, and it doesn't even have to, like, so, obviously, this is going to be a terrible analogy just because it's just so big. But, okay, like, take, like, a Legend of Zelda game, and, you know, your uncle gives you your sword and your shield, and you're like, you have to protect the princess, you have to, you know, save Hyrule. Now, if you said no, then the... Then the game would end, right? Now, granted, you know, if you had that kind of decision, obviously the developer could create an entirely different game based off your choice of saying no, you know, and how Ganon takes over and comes back and destroys everything. And then I guess technically you would be thrusted into the Dark World, or more likely you'd be dead. That's probably the more likely case. But... I have been replaying Wind Waker, and I hate the missions where you have to have... Do you have to accompany somebody to help you? Like, I've never been a fan of that. Like, I like the idea.
It's just painful.
Right, yeah. Like, I like the idea. I just don't feel like I've ever played a game that got it right. You know what I mean? No, I take that back, because, like, Bioshock Infinite did a pretty good job with that. Anyway. But if somebody came to me and said, hey, I'm going to help you beat this dungeon. No. You have any idea who I am? I'm Link, man. I'm the hero of time. I'm the hero of legend.
You're slowing me down.
I don't need you.
How about you stay here?
And then when I finish everything, you can high five me or make me dinner or buy me a drink. You know. But what I would want to happen is, like, no, I don't need your help. You know. Again, hero of legend. Let me, I got this. I got this. And then you walk in there and you're like, well, shit, I can't do this. I need somebody's help. And you come back and you're like, all right, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I do need your help. Like, I want that interaction just because it seems more natural and it seems more human.
Yeah, you know? I think you're onto something. There's a first-person shooter for the Wii. It's called The Conduit. It's actually surprisingly decent. Like, it's fun, except that it gets pretty hard. There's a level. You're like in Washington D.C. There's some government building. There's a handful of people that are in danger in this level. It's like, oh, you have to save these people. You know, you don't want these people to die. But in the building are dozens of aliens, and these are aliens with enormous laser guns. They're 8 feet tall. They can, like, skitter about really quickly. They have teleporters. They can, like, jump through walls, or, like, these huge monstrous things. And you're operating alone. And it's like, well, go in there. Kill all the aliens that are going to be trying to kill you and know you're coming just to save those stupid people. I'd be like, nope, screw that. I'm taking a day off. I'm retiring, in fact. See you later. I'd rather be doing anything but.
Thank you so much.
Right, it's a suicide mode. No.
See, that is an achievement that I want in the game. You said no.
Just
3,000
no.
experience points.
Nope. The evil drug lord so-and-so did this, but he's in his hideout now with 50 of his strongest dudes. You want to go in and get him? No, I'm going to call the cops, actually.
I'm going to call for backup.
I'd love if that was an option, Grand Theft Auto.
Call for backup.
Yeah, there's some drug dealers here. And he just waltz in after. Oh, good. I've got this territory.
Yo, it's man, the popo's like, coming. Go.
Choices to better your chances of succeeding. Because, like, the escort mission thing, that's a great point. Like, sometimes it sucks having someone tag along, but sometimes it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends how it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bioshock Infinite did a pretty good job, but then that ended up being a huge mess amongst certain groups about, oh, she's a woman and she always gets out of the way. And it's like, no, she's super helpful. Like, when I need ammo, she's like, here. And she throws me ammo. Like, that's what I need. Like, she knows I'm the guy with the big gun. Like, she's got, I mean, come on. Like, she tears like time and space. She
doesn't
need a gun.
Is that the only role women have, is to help men, to be their subservient
in that game
role?
In that game,
for that character, yes. That's the role of that character.
And apparently, spoilers, you know, I was the guy that I was running from, which just doesn't, it's kind of odd the way that story. Still confused. I don't know how many times I've played through that game. I'm still confused by that entire story. But
awesome.
But no, she was cool, man. Like, I was, I don't care if it was a woman or not. Just somebody there be like, hey, need some ammo? Like, thanks.
Here you go.
All right.
Yeah,
sweet.
I do, actually. Thank you.
Yeah, I need health. I just got shot up protecting you. No, this is great.
I'm going to go back to the fuel thing.
Please.
I like...
You like taxes.
And I'm gonna,
me too.
So yeah, I do like that. You know what? I'm going to tie it into TIE Fighter.
Oh, boy. Sorry.
So in TIE Fighter, you have a certain amount of energy you can use. Your ship generates a certain amount of energy. And you can choose whether, you know, if you pump it all into shields and lasers, your engine's going to be pretty slow. But if you wanted... You can go all lasers, engine's going to be faster, but those shields are going to drop. So I like the idea that, you know, you're playing a game and it lets you approach the situations differently according to your play style. Like, if I'm really good at flying or evading missiles or whatever, okay, maybe I don't need those shields. Maybe I just want to go in guns blazing. And it just adds a bit of difficulty to it. Like, it's not stopping you from playing it in a certain way. But I like the fact you have to manage it. It's not just like, I'm in a ship, go to point B, blow things up, return. It's like, okay, I've got to...
That's a lot of games nowadays, though.
And to be clear, I think putting limitations on the player is necessary for a good game. If you start the game and you're this all-powerful, unfailing entity... It's not going to be a fun experience. So inherent limitations force the player to use their mind, to use a certain amount of skill. That's great, but I also don't like
the gameplay mechanic of I'm going to give you everything and then strip it all away.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't like that. Like, there are so many games that are like that.
Every Metroid game.
Yeah, Metroid's bad for it.
This random thing happened. Better go get it back.
Yeah, Castlevania Symphony of the Night is a terrible one for it. Even Ocarina of Time, it's like, why can't I use Deku sticks as an adult? Why are my hands so big that I can't wrap it around the stick? Like, now, granted, with all of the cool weapons and stuff that I'm going to get eventually anyway, yeah, I'm probably not going to use these Deku sticks anymore, but... I can see them on my inventory. They're just darked out. Like, why can't I? What's the big deal?
Yeah. No, that's a perfect point.
I also hate when they give you stuff, it ruins it for me in a way. Because, like, okay, in terms of Metroid games, like the Metroid Prime games, okay, I know I'm going to get a grappling hook again. Great. I can see the points where I could freaking grapple and get past this. But no, you're going to make me run around.
Yeah, now you're just waiting.
For the sake of, we got to stretch this game out a little longer.
How can we artificially inflate the length of the gameplay?
Yeah. Like, instead of sitting down and being like, okay, you're going to naturally progress, and naturally you're going to get these things, which makes your character more of a badass. It's,
right.
You have all this stuff, so guess what? You got to wait 8 hours until you can use it again.
Yeah.
It's just, I find it lazy game design.
It's kind of like Kirby's Adventure. You can only use one power-up at a time. Except in Crystal Shards, you can use two at a time. But even then, like, it's just a... Kirby's metabolism is so weird. I eat an enemy, I get his power. But if I eat another enemy, I lose it. Like, I go from being able to breathe fire to just suddenly, nope, can't breathe fire anymore because you ate something.
Right.
I can generate sparks out of my body. Until I eat something really cold.
And then it's nothing but ice.
Fan theory. Do tell, Hunter.
That Kirby's actually the bad guy and everybody's trying to stop him.
Wasn't I the one who started that?
I don't remember. Right. Maybe.
I don't know if I
just thought it was neat because it was like, Kirby would actually be the bad guy. And
just going around eating stuff.
Because he's the one killing everybody, eating everybody, and King Dedede.
It's true. Absolutely. You start the game just walking up to people and like eating them.
Yeah.
Hi.
He's a walking black hole.
The first boss is an inanimate object who can't move. Like, he's just trying to defend himself. And you're sitting there just punching him until he... Or electrifying him, or burning him, or freezing him, or whatevering him. Until he dies!
Yep. Hey, man. Nobody likes good trees. Nobody likes trees with faces.
That's weird.
Yeah. True. I mean, have you played Mortal Kombat 2? That's a terrible place
or
to
Or Ocarina of Time? Or any RPG?
Yeah.
The hell?
Talking trees, man. Lord of the Rings.
The trees are moving. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm an idiot. I'm a freaking moron. I don't even understand.
All right, now it's getting weird.
It's getting weird. You want to get weird with me?
Wouldn't be the first time.
Nope.
Amen to that. It's time for a music break. Music break! That was Title Theme by Mega Beardo. Just a quick little track off his Mega Man 2 guitar tribute album. If you like that, go check out the album. It's name your price. So, I mean, it's worth supporting him for a couple bucks. We like Mega Beardo. We featured him before. He's a cool guy on Twitter and stuff. But no, he does a lot of electric guitar stuff with old video game music. So check it out. There's a download link on the episode page on LomoCastle.com. Speaking of subjects to segue to and from, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those who don't know, or even if you do know, it's still true, this is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen old video game. We'll have 1 minute to individually introduce our choices, and then we'll just spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite in a poll on the episode page of the podcast on onemorecastle.com. 2 episodes ago, it was my last week away on sabbatical. We had a special guest, Daniel Kaiser from Read Retro Magazine, and true to form, the special guest, won.
Come on.
The Retro Showdown with Pro Wrestling.
Pro Wrestling.
Yep. A winner is you, Daniel Kaiser. A winner is you. He beat out Jason, who brought Liero on DOS, and Hunter, who brought Casper the Friendly Ghost on Sega Saturn. Frankly, even though I'm not the biggest fan of Pro Wrestling, I still think Daniel deserved the win that week. But
of course you do.
Fight, I guess. Yeah, of course I do. Of course I do. But hey, whatever. It's a new week, a new set of games, a new theme. Tonight's theme. Is everybody ready for this? Tonight's theme. Never done this before. Tonight's theme is games with bowling in them somewhere.
Yes. Or somehow.
In other words. I guess I can't say with full confidence. I don't know what my opponents in the debate picked, but we didn't pick explicitly bowling games, I don't think. Or maybe you guys did, but we picked games that somehow have bowling in them. If you're playing the game, at some point you come across something bowling related. There's bowling elements in the game, even if it's not a bowling game. That's episode 123. We're getting that nuanced in our themes. which may sound like desperation, but actually it's fun to like kind of stretch your mind and your creativity and figure it out. Because I admit, guys, I mean, I was racking my brain trying to think of something, and then I remembered a good one. So I'm looking forward to tonight. Typically, traditionally, I go first, and Jason is our timekeeper. So, Jason, honestly, if you have a minute on the clock for me, I think I'm ready.
All right, you may begin.
Screw you guys, I picked a classic. Tonight's game has been beloved by, I would say, millions of people. It's an arcade title that came out in 1991, back when its source material was a red-hot media property, popular especially in the Western world. And in stage 6 of this game, the stage is called Dreamland, and the boss is a giant bowling ball. That's right, the game I chose is The Simpsons. The Simpsons arcade game is a side-scrolling beat-em-up. It's hilarious. You can play as Homer, Bart, Lisa, or Marge. You just beat the crap out of every living thing you come across. And there's a giant bowling ball as the boss in stage 6. The Simpsons arcade game.
All right. Pretty fun. Hunter.
I completely forgot about that game.
Yeah.
For good reason. Hold on,
Are you ready?
Gotta get my voice ready. All right.
You may begin.
Way out west, there's this fella. Fella I want to tell you about. Fella by the name of McCree. At least that was the handle his loving parents gave him, but never used much of it himself. Mr. McCree, he called himself Mad Dog. Now, Mad Dog, that's a name no one would self-apply where I come from. But then there was a lot about Mad Dog that didn't make a whole lot of sense, and a lot about where he lived, likewise. But then again, maybe that's why I found this place so damn interesting. Small country town with no name. I didn't find it to be that exactly, but I'll allow there's some nice folks there. Of course, I can't say I've seen London, and I can't say I'd seen France, and I sure as hell ain't seen no Queen's damned underpants, so the feller says. But I'll tell you what, after seeing this town and this here story I'm about to unfold, well, I guess I've seen something every bit as stupefying as you'd see in any other places.
Time.
And in English, too. Mad Dog
Plus
McCree
five.
For the Sega CD. There you go.
That was good.
There's bowling in that game?
We'll get to it.
All right.
Okay. In the next 5 minutes of your intro.
No, I'm done. I'm waiting on Mr. Lamb over here.
All right, I guess I'll begin. Released in arcades in the year of 1999. This game was almost a celebration of the series, a greatest hits, if you will, featuring fighters from throughout the series. It deviated from the normal kind of messy storyline and just focused purely on the fighting. With 34 selectable fighters, you could be everything from a bear to a demon, to robots, to regular people, to weird wooden training dumbing people. It was Tekken Tag Tournament for the arcade. But wait, you ask, bowling? Where is there bowling in Tekken Tag Tournament? Surprisingly, as a special mode, because the people demanded it, you could select to do Tekken Bowl Tournament. That's right. Featured in Tekken Tag Tournament is a fully fledged bowling game, allowing you to bowl as your favorite fighter. It's Tekken Tag Tournament and the subsequent Tekken Bowl Tournament.
Oh, there's bowling in Primal Rage, too. I just remembered that.
With the little tribal people?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Jason, is that where the bear is a panda? Like Panda the Bear?
You can be a panda, you can be a normal, like, grizzly bear. There's variants
bears?
On the bear.
Not up on my Tekken, I guess.
That's because it's a terrible fighting franchise.
No, it's fantastic. It's the best one.
I've always found it weird that it has fans. It's like every time a new Tekken game comes out, I'm like, people play this? People like this?
Yeah, it's the best fighting game.
I think
you know what? Mind you,
what I mean.
I say that every time a new Street Fighter comes out.
Okay, but Street Fighter's fun.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Like yeah, Tekken is the fighting game franchise for people who don't like to have fun.
No, it's
you know,
great.
It's like the it's cardboard weird. Box of fighting games.
Yeah, it's just...
And that's not like compared to like lesser cardboard boxes. That's comparing a cardboard box to like toys and candy.
It's true.
It's just to make my analogy clear.
So you're telling me Tekken is the fighting game where one can use their imagination to make anything out of that fighting game?
Much
like a cardboard
Tekken,
box and a child?
I'm saying Tekken is the game where you have to use your imagination to make
anything.
Is this
yes. the fighting game which cats like to sit in?
This is the fighting game that a cat will sit inside of and then poop within. Yes. Cat crap.
I mean, isn't it the if the cat fits, it sits? Isn't that the...
Yeah.
If I fit, I sit.
Fits.
Something like that. So... Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, so, Tekken yeah. Tag Tournament
is the cat crap. Yeah. It's the litter box of. Mm. There you go. The litter box of fighting games.
You know what? At least it's not the live action laser disc video game of video games.
Ah, full motion video. You play the stranger. Come on,
oh, Hunter. You come on. Your FMV fetish. What are we gonna do about you?
It's
not even funny anymore.
Just loves
it's
it.
It's you've become a tragic figure in a play about your own life, Hunter. Wow.
That's all right. I'm all right with it.
I know you are. I know.
So, the bowling aspect of this game comes into the section of when you're in the bar, and you have to take out one of Mad Dog McCree's goons to get the keys for the jail cell where the current sheriff is residing. And when you shoot him, and it's all live action glory with or without a light gun, preferably with a light gun, he tumbles backwards into tables and chairs, creating a bowling effect of pins.
Oh, is there actually like a sound effect, like that very telling sound effect of a ball striking pins on the lane? Do they make that sound effect?
No, that was copyrighted at the time, so they wouldn't have
to. So you're just making this up? You're just comparing the action?
So you're telling me in a game that literally only lasts half an hour, they somehow stuck a bowling thing in it?
No, I mean,
it doesn't even sound like a bowling thing.
Best.
It sounds like something that Hunter is trying to say is a bowling thing. I don't think it's actually a bowling thing.
I mean, what else would you relate to?
A guy falling
move
into
one
stuff.
Thing and a bunch of other things fall down.
Daily life.
Then you're bowling every day, then.
It is. Wow.
It's way better than I thought I was clumsy. No, I'm just a bowler. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you're just a bowler.
I
mean, that's like.
Not a baller. A bowler.
Not a baller.
Not a baller. A bowler.
I'm going to correct people.
This game is literally 15 minutes long.
Everyone says, that Eric Bailey, he's such a baller. I'm going to be like, nope. I'm a bowler.
Big right. difference. I mean, if you made prosthetics, you could be a professional bodybuilder. So. Mad Dog McCree.
Mad Dog
McCree. Wow, I'm definitely winning this week. There's nothing you guys can say. People are just going to see the three choices.
Simpsons.
It's just another craptastic licensed franchise beat 'em up that Konami pooped out. That's
pumped
all it
out.
Is. Like it's,
hey guys, we'll make another side-scrolling beat 'em up.
It came out in 91 before, you know, right at the tail end of the popularity. It's The Simpsons. Even, I mean, this was even before like the show was a big hit because there's still parts in the game that actually don't relate to the show because they were like cut out. Of the actual show. So it doesn't even mirror the property that it's trying to represent. Like, it's a facade. It's a lie. You picked a lie, Bailey.
Hey, it still has a giant bowling ball in it.
It's true, it does. It does have a giant bowling ball.
Yep, see, that's an effective counter to any argument. Oh! Giant bowling ball.
Mine was the essence of bowling, which is even more.
Nope, that's just stupid.
Mine was literally bowling.
Yeah, that's boring.
No, that's great. Because they do their fighting moves once you throw the ball.
Oh, that's so dumb. That is so dumb.
They throw it, and then they're like, yeah.
That's terrible. They're
like, yep, threw that ball.
That is just god
awful.
Got
a strike.
I am proud of how deep down the geek spectrum we are in retro gaming that we brought two arcade games and a full motion video Sega CD game. It doesn't get much more
American
retro
laser
gaming
games.
Than that. That's awesome.
It's true.
American laser games. It sounds so much cooler than it is. You know?
Yeah, it does.
Ooh, I don't know, man. They had some pretty good titles. They no, not feeling it.
This is just Simpsons arcade game.
It's fun. Marge hits people with a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, it's so stupid. Those terrible mini games. Oh, let's blow up the balloon.
Oh, let's slap ourselves in the face to make us wake up. It's hilarious.
When I first played Mario Party for the 64, and that stupid blow the balloon up mini game was in it, that's all I could think about was like, really? You stole probably the worst part of the Simpsons arcade game? You couldn't have picked the cool beat-em-up aspects or just the hilarity or the weird connotations? No, this crappy minigame.
I'm going to go back to the part where we're talking about artificially lengthening games. I'm fine with Mario Party because I know going into it, I'm just playing minigames. If I'm playing a side-scrolling beat-em-up, why the hell do I want to play a minigame?
You don't want minigames. What you want is full-motion video. With a light gun.
You know what? I take that.
You want to be a sheriff in the Wild West.
Hunter,
you know what? I would play Mad Dog over this.
Oh,
full
yes.
motion video. I would watch a movie.
I mean, that's what you're doing. Now you get to interact with it.
That's why I play video games, to have full interaction and to be able to determine the fate of the story at hand.
Mad Dog McCree on Blu-ray?
Oh, man.
I'd watch it.
Play it. Just go on YouTube. It's right there.
It's just a watered-down mix. Like, it's not quite a movie, and it's not quite a game. It's just some stupid,
misshapen,
debilitated mutant offspring of the two. It's just sitting there gasping for air through its punctured lungs, saying, kill me! Kill me!
Well, I mean, technically, Mad Dog McCree was also an arcade game.
Technically? Did you just say technically? As in Tekken?
No, I am never...
Yeah, technically.
So, to me, Tekken obviously fell into that... I mean, it dived headfirst into the competitive fighting genre.
Yeah.
When you had Street Fighter, you had Mortal Kombat, and you had some of these offshoots like Battle Arena, Toshinden, that were released, and it... Playing Tekken,
King
I was
of
like
Fighters,
King of Fighters,
Samurai
yeah.
Showdown,
World Heroes,
Mad Dog McCree.
But Tekken, I felt like when I was playing the game, I'm like, okay, it's trying to do something. It's trying to be Virtual Fighter. That's what it's trying to be. It's trying to be Virtual Fighter. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, it's got some of the aspects. You know, you're in this arena. The characters are kind of crazy. That's fine. And then playing it on the PlayStation, I was like, well, maybe it's just because of the hardware. Because that, when the PlayStation came out, like, that's when you started to get to a point where, like, you'd go to the arcade and you could come home and practically almost play the exact same game. Almost. You know, like, almost. It was that much closer. But it was slow and it was laggy. And then Tekken 2 came out. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, they're actually doing something with this. Like, this is great. I mean, it's still no Virtua Fighter. It's still no Street Fighter, but it's a nice... It's kind of got like a fan base behind it. And then Tekken 3 came out, and then it was just all downhill from there. Like, they stopped caring about the characters in the games. They stopped caring about the fighting mechanics. If you want to play a fighting game that is completely unbalanced to the point where you're just button mashing now, it's the Tekken series. And if you really think crossing Tekken... That was another thing, too. Like, when they were talking about doing, like... Tekken Cross Street Fighter. I was like, that might be interesting. Yeah. And then I read that they were using the Tekken engine. I was like, no, this is going to be terrible. This is going to be garbage.
Pokemon, no.
There's no way.
Pokken tournament.
Come on, man. Tekken.
Tekken Tag Tournament. Come on.
Everyone loves Tekken.
No. If we just spent like the next 2 full podcast episodes bashing Tekken, I'd be okay with that.
Oh, down, absolutely.
Tekken bashing.
Like, I can't even remember anybody positive who's in Tekken.
The bear.
Bear.
Yeah.
Bear. Bear's in it?
Yeah, Kuma.
I'd rather play Tekken Card Tournament.
That's not a real thing, is it?
Is that a real thing?
How much Tekken sucks. I'd rather play the
card
game version.
You hate Tekken, but you've gone far enough to download.
I love competitive card games. That's the problem. You see my dilemma here.
No, I don't.
If you
Tekken,
doubt my
Hayachi.
What does that mean?
Hayachi.
I can name practically every Street Fighter. I can name practically every combatant in Mortal Kombat. I don't know the words that
Think
are coming
of
out of your mouth, Jason.
Hayachi was the exclusive PlayStation 2 fighter for Soul Calibur 2.
Oh, you mean yet another better competitive fighter series? Yes, I am familiar with Soul Calibur. Soul Edge, yes. Let's talk about that series. Why didn't you bring that series, Jason?
Because it didn't have bowling.
Jason, you mentioned 34 characters. As if that's a lot of characters to choose from. I mean, let's be honest. 34 is nothing. Nothing!
Whoa.
34 is nothing in video games.
Did you pull up Smash Brothers?
Yeah, but there's only like 10 that are worth playing as. Because like 8 of them are clones.
Smash Brothers 3DS?
Oh god, there's so many clones.
There are...
And it took how many years for Nintendo to catch up?
50 characters.
Oh, I mean,
what do you mean?
Smash Brothers came out on the 64.
Brawl and Melee had a lot too.
Yeah, and they had like 6 characters.
Well, the original only had like 12 or 14 or something.
Yeah.
That's still not bad for a fighting game, though. I mean,
yeah,
I've played fighting games where there was 4. There was 4 characters.
Yeah, King of the Monsters, the first one. Sega Genesis.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, King of the Monsters. What was the other one? There was another one that came out right around that time. It was like Bad Brawlers or something, or Street Brawlers or something like that. I don't remember. There was like 4 characters, and you had to fight each character like 5 times.
Then what's worse is the games that are definitely a fighting game, like in terms of how they work, but there is no character selection. You just play through. And it's like, because there isn't a character selection, you never stop to think, shouldn't there be? Like Urban Champion on NES. It's basically the worst fighting game of all time. One of the first fighting games, but the worst one. It's horrible. It's stupid. Because at least let you choose like different costumes or something. That game is...
I like Urban Champion.
Really? Why?
I like it for what it was. Thought
what
it was interesting.
It? It's like a tech.
It was.
Demo.
Well,
which,
I mean,
okay, fine.
It practically every release, every black box release was a tech demo.
No, you're right. You have a point. Like Nintendo was trying to diversify and show people different kinds of games. That's legit. That's a legit.
I mean, I hadn't seen a better.
But Mad Dog McCree still sucks.
Oh, Dog McCree is. It's well written. It's well acted. Actually,
no,
Jason,
no.
The voice acting is great.
The
Jason just
voice
watched
acting.
The whole thing on YouTube.
It's 15 minutes
it's
15 and 33
minutes.
Seconds.
The voice acting in Mad Dog McCree is so much better than Resident Evil.
You say voice acting. These are real actors saying real lines.
Well, right, but I mean, it's still there's
no voiceover.
Yeah, but they're not doing
not
anything
like,
with what their costumes.
It's not,
on
it's not dubbed.
Like
Hunter,
it might be. Could be.
Hey, Mad Dog. I'm going to shoot you.
Got to get Mad Dog, stranger. That guy was the best. That old guy. Like, you just want to hug him. Just want to hug that old
Hunter,
crazy bastard when you walk into town. He's drunk off his ass.
His gang's taking over the town. You got to save it. I'm the
Jason,
old miner.
Jason, I love your old man voice. Where did this come from?
Hit these cans.
Ooh,
good shot.
Here's my old gun. Watch out, it kicks a bit.
Jeez. Mad Dog McCree.
Hunter, I'm going to try and say this as gently as possible. Your southern accent needs work. I get the feeling you already know this.
Actually, no, that was my impression of... Wait, let me pull it up. It's a monologue from The Big Lebowski. I just changed some of the words.
Yeah, that's what it's from. I was like, this sounds way too... What is this? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was trying to be what's-his-name. I don't... Let me see if I can find
it. I think he's just called, like, the... Yeah, he doesn't really have his name.
No, I mean, like, the actor's name.
Oh, Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott, yeah. Yeah, well, he's known as the Stranger in the yeah. credits.
Right.
Yeah, that was my impression of Sam Elliott.
Are you pretending you're playing a Sam Elliott in this game?
God, wouldn't that be great? He's got a pretty cool voice.
Sam, you got to save the town.
He's got a pretty cool voice.
He does.
I don't know. Mad Dog McCree. Live action all up in your face.
You guys live action. It's animated. It's like playing a cartoon. It's wonderful.
No, it's a terrible cartoon and turns into a terrible video game. Don't get me wrong. I like the whimsical style that they did with The Simpsons, but they could have done that with any animated set of characters. It didn't have to be... You know what I'm saying? Like,
which is great. I'm grateful they chose.
I mean, if the only release you're going to get on a console is on a Commodore 64, you're not doing too well.
Did it really only come to the Commodore 64?
Commodore 64, and then I believe it was on MS-DOS, which was more accurate.
What game are you talking about on Commodore 64?
Simpsons.
The Simpsons arcade game did not come to the Commodore 64. I'm talking about what consoles got Simpsons games. The NES got 4 Simpsons games alone.
No, we're just talking.
No, I'm just talking about the
arcade game itself.
Yeah.
Arcade game. What? The Commodore 64 got a port of the arcade game?
Yeah.
Are you being like honest right now?
Let me look it up.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
It came to arcades.
Just making stuff up, you know, on this podcast about retro games.
Commodore 64, MS-DOS.
Good.
So you picked the worst Simpsons game.
Oh, like, well, I wouldn't suck. Go for like, those.
I mean, the C64 has its merits, but you can't just shove an arcade game onto that thing. Wow. Not 1991. You can't do that.
No.
You can't do that. 1991. You can't do that.
It's got to be horrible. Like, I'm just trying to imagine what it would be like to put that on Commodore 64.
It's probably not that bad. It's probably just really slow.
Yeah.
I just want to see some gameplay images. I just want to see.
Like, why would you choose this one of all of them? Of all the Simpsons games.
There's really not a good Simpsons game.
No.
Jason, are you really asking me that?
No, I know, bowling.
Yeah, right.
Actually, I think there is a Simpsons bowling game. Like, legit.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
There is.
Came out in the year
2000. Too explicit.
They almost brought that.
Actually pick a bowling game. Unlike Jason, who actually picked a full-fledged bowling game. That's
I brought a
forward quote from
bowling
judge,
fighting
by
game?
Way.
It's not. Bowling. You're not fighting, though. You're just bowling with...
In my hand.
With fake fighters. You think that they're actual combatants in a series, but then they don't realize how terrible it is.
Yeah.
Bear, come on.
Yeah. Come on. Final Bear. Arguments. Hunter, why should anyone vote for Mad Dog McCree, a.k.a. the worst movie and video game ever made?
Mad Dog McCree, full motion video, Sam Elliott.
Not a big full motion.
Sam Elliott. Sega CD.
Boom. Oh, that's a compelling argument.
Boom.
Jason, why should anyone vote for... Ugh, I'm not even going to say the name of the franchise. To
Fine. You should vote for...
Ekken.
Yeah. Ekkens?
Nice.
You should vote Tekken Bullapalooza 7, because it is the only game where you can take a break from mashing those buttons and smash those pins instead.
You should vote for a Simpsons arcade game because you know you want to, because you know you have good memories of it at the arcade. Nope. And if you don't, just take my word for it. It's a fun game. Are you a Simpsons fan? It's an obvious choice. If you hate the Simpsons, tougher sell, but you should still vote for it, totally.
No.
That's my argument after 123 episodes of Retro Showdown. You should vote for it, totally. Just do it. And that's our showdown. So thanks for joining us, audience, out there in listener land and live stream land and video land. However you ingest this goodness. New episodes go onemorecastle.com on Mondays. The live stream happens 7:30 p.m. Central Thursday evenings. We tweet the link to it from the Twitter account at onemorecastle. If you want to email us a listener email discussion question, that email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. That's the number one, morecastle.com. Jason, do you have any shout outs, plugs, hair care tips?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter @JasonLamb. But for hair care tips, I recommend Old Spice's pomade, Spiffy. Ooh. It's backwards in the webcam, but it says have. Spiffy.
Looks good on my end.
So, you can pick that up at your local drugstore. And as an added bonus, it smells pretty damn good too. So much so that one may think of just sniffing this glue.
Good God,
glue.
I am disturbed by how ready you were for that question.
A little bit. See what you've done, Bailey. See what you've done.
Hunter, any reminders, plugs, shout-outs, or gameplay tips for Link's Awakening?
You can follow me on Twitter @EricHunter. For all things me, check out my site, ericmhunter.net. Probably the best piece of advice I can give about Link's Awakening is you got to go with the red tunic. You got to go with that power tunic. Because it plays off like you have the Triforce piece the entire time. And it just makes the game so much easier. Rather than getting the blue tunic, which is more for defense. So find all those seashells. Like, I didn't even have to upgrade my sword. Like, I breezed through the game when I got that red tunic. Like, it's a little overpowered. But, you know, still an amazing game. And it's definitely number 3 on my list now.
Nice. What are 2 and 1, if I may ask?
Link's Awakening. And, strangely, A Link Between Worlds. Like, that game... I mean, I love Ocarina, I love Wind Waker, but man, there's something about A Link Between Worlds that just did it, that just got it right, you know what I mean?
Man, I might need to pick that game up sometime this year, because I'm working on building the world's best pound-for-pound 3DS library, because I have a 3DS, I only have 2 games for the 3DS, but the games I have are Pokemon Y and Super Smash Bros. 3DS, I mean...
Huge.
I am happy with my library on the 3DS. I feel like I can't buy another 3DS game unless it's absolutely a primo 5-star game. And the more I hear about Link Between Worlds, even months later, that'd be my next one. Speaking of Legends of Nintendo, you can follow me on Twitter @Nintendo_Legend. I'm going to be streaming more stuff this year. I'm going to get back to writing on the website, onemorecastle.com. A lot of things coming up. Our show, so yeah, thanks. We appreciate you retweeting the One More Castle stuff and spreading the word. If you want to be on our marketing team, all you gotta do is tell a friend about the podcast. If you like old video games, that's the show. So, that's it. That's our marketing team. Last but not least, just remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president.